The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shelach. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, Shlach lecho anoshim v'yosur es eretz Kenan asher ani nesein livnei Yisrael. Hashem said to Moshe saying, send for yourselves people and go out and spy the land of Eretz Yisrael, which I am going to give to you. Ish echod lemate aveisav tishlochu kol nosi vahem. One person for every shevet, for every tribe, shall the nosi send. So Moshe sent out from the desert of Poron, in accordance to Hashem, a person from every tribe, and they were all Anoshim. Rashi tells us they were all Anoshim, they were all righteous people at that time. And then the Torah tells us what their names were. Then Moshe instructed them, and he said, go to the Negev, go to the south, and go up to the mountain, look at the land to see what it is, look at the nations that live there, are they strong nations, are they weak, are there many, is it a good land, what are the cities like. Is it a fat land or a lean land? Are there trees? And bring from the fruit of the lands. And this was during the time of the Bikurei Anovim, during the time of the first fruits of the grapes. So they went. And they went through the entire land. And there they saw the giants of the land. And they went to Hebron. And they went to Nahal Eshkol. And there they broke off a branch, a cluster of grapes. And it was carried on a stave, and the Gemara tells us that it took 8 people to carry it. They used 4 staves. Umina Rimeinim, and they brought from the pomegranates, Umina Te'enim, and they brought from the figs. And the pomegranates were so big that one had to carry one pomegranate, and one had to carry one fig. And after 40 days of spying out of the land, they went around the entire land in 40 days. They returned. They came to Moshe and Aaron and all of the people, and they gave a report and they showed them the fruits of the land. And they told, we came to the land which you have sent us. And true, it is a land which is flowing with milk and honey, and these are its fruits, efes, but the nations which dwell in this land are very, very strong and ruthless, and they are tremendously fortified cities. And also we saw the people of the Anok, this was a nation of giants. Namolek is there, and the Chiti, and the Yevusi, and the Amori, the Kenani, they're all there. In other words, they indicated that we're going into a land which is going to be impossible to conquer. We have some of the strongest nations and the most ruthless nations in the world there. And they're very strong, and they have very strong cities, and they're giants. And they showed the fruit, and they said, Kishem, Shapiria Mashuna, just like the fruit is totally unusual, abnormal, so are the people this way. So Kolev ben Yefuna, he was a very righteous person, and he was the son of Miriam, the nephew of Moshe. He said, he silenced him, and he said, no, we will go up and we will conquer the land, we can do it. And the other people said, no, we cannot go up, the land is stronger than us. And they slammed in the land, which they went out to spy. And they said, the land which we went to see is a land which consumes its inhabitants. Why did they say that? The Gemara brings him a Sechta Seita. Rashi brings it. Because wherever they went, they saw Levias. They saw funerals wherever they went. So they said, it's a land which consumes people that come there. And it has giants living there. And again, they said over all of the people, the giants that were living there, and we were like grasshoppers to them. Now when the nation heard this report, and here they're in the desert, to continue living in the desert seemingly is an impossibility, the wilderness. To return to Egypt is even a greater impossibility. The only place they could go is to Eretz Yisrael, and now they received a report like this. The whole nation raised their voices and they wept on that night. And they came and they rose up and complained against Mesha and Aram. And they said, Lumasnu beretz Misraim, ubamidbar hazeh lumasnu. It would be better to have died in Egypt, it would be better than to die here. Why is the Almighty bringing us into this land in order that we should die by the sword? And that our wives and children should become their spoils. It's better for us to go back to Egypt. And then they started to rebel. One man said to another, let's appoint a new leader. It's time for a new leadership. Because Ben Amram, the son of Amram, is only getting us into trouble. And when Mesh and Aaron heard this, that here they had a rebellion, a mutiny, and the people were not trusting in the Almighty, and their hands were weakened, and they fell to Hashem. They fell down to Hashem. And of the 12 that went, there were two that remained righteous all the way through, and that was Yeshua bin Nun and Caleb bin Yefuneh. When they heard this, they rent their garments, and they said that the land which we have gone to see, Tovoho Oretz Me'od Me'od, the land is very, very good, exceedingly good. If we want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us there, and he'll give us the land, and we have nothing to worry about. But do not rebel against Hashem, and do not be afraid of the people who are there. They are our bread. We will eat them like our bread. And when the nation heard this, they said that Kolev and Yeshua are as worse as bad as Mesha. They wanted to stone them. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his appearance. The Anani Yaakovet, the cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came to intercede. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he was very angry. And he said, Anonu yinatsuni homazeh. For how long will this nation anger me? But onu leyaminuvi. And for how long will this nation not believe in me? B'chol ha'esis asher osisi b'kirbay. From all of the miracles and the signs which I have done within them, in their midst. So first, the Almighty wanted to destroy the whole nation. He had enough. And he said, I'll make a new nation from you, Moshe. This is what he wanted to do. But finally, through Moshe's intervention, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, all right, I will not destroy the whole nation. But he says, all of the people that are involved in this, they'll never see the land. So then he said, in Posuk Chof Cheso, Emol Aleihem Chai Oninu Mashem. I take a shvur, an oath, Bamidbar Hazeh Yiplu Figreichem V'chol Pigudeichem L'chol Misparchem. In this desert, all of the people will die. All of those who are always counted, amongst those who are counted for the army of Hashem, from 20 years old higher, they will all die
those that have rose up against me. You will go, he says, Kolev will go into the land. Yeshua will go into the land, but not the people. And their children, which they said that will go into the land and will be for spoils, they will go in. But the land which they have despised, they will never see. And they will wander in the desert, their children will wander in the desert for 40 years. Until this generation is finished off. Made a decree, the Almighty made a decree, that anyone who's under 20 will go into the land. But anyone who was 20 at that time will not go into the land. And everyone died before 60. So therefore they needed 40 years for this entire generation to die off. This was a Chiyuv Koresh. Koresh is where a person dies before 60. So for 40 years you shall wander in this desert until this generation has died. The number of years which took the number of days to encircle Eretz Yisrael when you went to spy out the land. And the Almighty took a shvuah on this. And then he said, those that went into Eretz Yisrael to spy out the land and brought back this report, they will die immediately. And he brought a terrible plague on them, and they died immediately. And Yeshua bin Nun, Mekole ben Yefune, Choyu min Anoshim Ahem, Aholchim Masores Oretz. Yeshua bin Nun and Mekole ben Yefune were the only ones of those that went in that didn't die. And it states, Choyu, they lived from them, which the Gemara Darshans in Baba Basra, that they inherited their chelik. Those 12, those 10 that went in, they had a portion in Eretz Yisrael which was supposed to go to them and their children. Yeshua and Kolev inherited it. This is the story of the Maragli. In order to get a little background and to place this in the proper perspective, let us go to Parshas Baalei Sichot, which was last week's Sedra. Baalei Sichot Perek Yud, Posuk Yud Aleph. Vayehi bashana hashenish b'chedish hasheni b'esrim b'chodesh. And it was in the second year that they were in the wilderness, in the second month, the 20th of it, of the month. The first month is Nisan, so then this was Iyar. 20th day, the 20th of Iyar. They left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. And they came, where did they go to? They went to Har Sinai, Midbar Sinai, the desert of Sinai. They came to Har Sinai, the Torah tells us in Parshas Yisrael, on what date? On Rish Chedesh Sivan. The month that the Torah was given them, Rish Chedesh Sivan. Between the Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah and the giving of the Torah, there are 49 days in between the Sefiras HaOmer and the 50th day Torah was given. So the week before they came to Har Sinai, Rish Chedesh Sivan, they stayed by the mountain for almost a full year, because the Torah reports that the first time they were to leave the mountain is here. They were camping around the mountain, which was the 20th of Iyar. That means that they stayed 10 more days, it would have been Rish Chedesh Sivan, and it would have been a full year. So Rashi brings, they stayed by the mountain, Yud Beis Chedesh Chosar Yud Yomim. The Maral in the Guraya gives the reason why. Why did they stay a year? They received the Torah, they could have gone onward. Because when they received the Torah, so then they became a kala to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moreshes Kilis Yaakov, Al Tikre Moreshes Ela Meuroso. The Torah made us be thrust to the Almighty. And the deen is that a husband has to be Mesameach Ishte Chadosho, that for a full year he doesn't go away. He has to rejoice with his new wife for a year. So therefore, Klal Yisrael encamped around the mountain for a year. At that time, Nale Ha'onon Me'al Mishkan O'Edus. During that year, they had built a sanctuary. The sanctuary was built and put up just a month before on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And they had all of the covered the honor of the desert, like we learned. The Golim, they had how to camp, and their banners, and the Chatzetzeres, the trumpets, and so forth. And it was a good year. It was a very good year. Because they camped in one place. They didn't have to travel. The Mon was introduced to them. They ate Mon. And the Mon had all of the tastes of all of the foods that one could imagine. And it was lush. There wasn't a midbar. Actually, around for Matan Torah, the Har Sinai gave forth with beautiful grass and vegetation. So they had a very good year. More than a good year. They'll tell us it was lemala min hateva. It was higher than a natural life. Then Nale Ha'onan Me'al Mishkan Ha'edu, so on that day, the 20th of Iyar, the cloud of glory lifted over the sanctuary, which was the sign that they were to break camp. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael ma'aseh mimbar Sinai, vayishkan Ha'onan b'midbar Poron. And they got into their formation, and they left Midbar Sinai, heading for the desert of Poron, because that's where the cloud was taking them. And then the Torah tells us how they broke camp and how they marched with a tremendous formation. We were speaking there of millions and millions of people in the desert. And this was tremendous formation. And with all of the covered and the honor of the Digle Amidbar, of the formations and the banners of the Midbar, of the desert. Then it states a little further in Pasukhov test, Vayema Mesha Lechevav Ben Ruel Hamidjoni, Chesein Mesha. Now Yisrael was together, Yisrael Mesha's father-in-law was together with the people. He had come and he stayed with them. So Mesha told Yisrael Chovav, that was one of his names, Nesim Anachnu Alamoka Masherom Arashem Eise Etein Lachem. We are now going, where are we going now? We're now going to the place which the Almighty has promised He will give us. We're going out to Eretz Yisrael. And Yisrael thought that maybe he wasn't welcome, because being a ger, a convert, he didn't have a portion in the land. So Moshe said, "No, you come with us, we'll take good care of you. Come with us. You come with us and we will take good care of you." So Yisrael said, "No, I don't want to go. I'm going to go back to my land." No, Moshe says, "Don't leave us. You come with us." Vayisu mehar Hashem, Posek Lamed Gimel, so they left the Har Hashem, Derech Shleishis Yomim. They left the mountain of Hashem to go for 3 days. To go for 3 days, and the Arein Hashem, which led them, was ahead of them. Where were they going to go for 3 days? So the Gemara brings, and Rashi brings, that the trip to Eretz Yisrael was a 3-day trip. Midbar Poron. Poron was surrounding Eretz Yisrael, short distance from Eretz Yisrael, and that was a 3-day trip. So they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael in 3 days, and even less. It says they went on a three-day journey. It doesn't say they journeyed for 3 days. They went on a 3-day journey, which Rashi brings even took them shorter. Then, immediately afterwards, is written a short parsha, Vayhi bin Se Aaron Vayeme Meshe. It's all, we're familiar with it, because whenever we open up the Aron HaKodesh, this is what we say, this is what we sing. But when the Aron journeyed, so this is what Meshe would say, Kuma Hashem Ve'afutza Evecha V'yanusu Misanecha V'yiponecha. Meshe would say that Hashem should get up and scatter all of our enemies and make all of our enemies run from before us. Uvenuche Yeimar, and then when the Aron would stop, Shuv Hashem Riva Ve'Salfei Yisrael, Hashem should gather in all of the tens of thousands of Israel. This parsha, this little parsha in the Sefer Torah, is set off with signs, special signs. It's an upside down noon before and an upside down noon afterwards. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos in Perek Kol Kisvei, and Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Gemara brings, what's this little parsha doing here? There's two explanations are given. According to one, this is a sefer by itself, this is a book by itself. And therefore he says, we're always under the impression that the Sefer Torah is made up of the five books of Moses, Chamisha Chumshe Torah. He says, no, there are seven books of Moshe. Why? Because if this is a sefer, a book by itself, then Bamidbar is divided into three books, before it, afterward, and this itself. And then you have the other four books. So there are seven books of Moshe. And he bring a posuk from Mishlei Chotzva Mudeo Shiva, that there are seven pillars to the world that Shlema Melech wrote. And this refers to the seven books of Moshe. That's one opinion. There's another opinion in the Gemara. No, this is not a separate book. Really, this is not its place. But the Almighty put it here. Why? Lahafsik bein pronius lepronius. In order to divide between very unfortunate happenings. Because until now, things were good. But here something unfortunate happened, and afterwards something unfortunate happened. The Gemara brings, it says, Vayisu mehar Hashem. When they journeyed from the Har Hashem, from the mountain of Hashem, Sor mina Har Hashem. They turned away from the mountain of Hashem. There was trouble. The minute they left Har Sinai, there was trouble. Vayisu, they journeyed, they turned away from Har Hashem. What was the trouble? Different opinions. Some say because they started to complain already, and they didn't have, it was getting difficult for them, or they didn't have what to eat, and so forth. Tosfos brings, Rashi says that, Tosfos brings a medrash, that when they left the Har Hashem, they ran away, ketinei kabereach mi beis ha-sefer. They ran away like a child leaves the Beis HaSefer school when the day's over or when holiday comes. Torah is not to be left that way. A person must always seek Torah. You must always run to Torah. Gemara brings that you should be the first one in the Beis HaMedrash in the morning and the last one to leave at night. Not the first one to leave. They were the first ones to leave. Vayisu. They ran from Har Sinai. They said, Va, Baruch Hashem, Potter, we're free, we've been here long enough. And this already showed, in that year in Har Sinai, not only was it like a Gan Eden to them, but they learned through the entire Torah. That year, Moshe taught them the entire Torah, which he had received on Sinai. So they should have gone away with a great attachment. Like the Gemara says, Koshalai Pridaskem, when you leave someone that you love, it's difficult to leave. Instead, they went away like a teenage, Vayisu. They left. This showed things were not good. There wasn't that attachment. That was the first pronius. Rashi says also they were starting to grumble already. How long are we going to be in this wilderness? Even though they had the best of everything, they started to grumble. Then, Immediately after this parsha Vayi Binsoya, it states Vayi Om Kimis Einanim Rabbi Ozni Hashem. The nation, Rashi brings it, says it doesn't say my nation, it says the nation. Ve'ein Omel Rishoyim, so it's referring to the Rishoyim, to the wicked ones of the nation. They were Mis Einanim Rabbi Ozni Hashem. They started to grumble, complain. And the Chazal bring, there was nothing to complain about. It was lush, perfect weather, because the Anani HaKovid always protected them. It was an air conditioner during the day. It protected them from the sun, and it protected them from the rains, and it warmed them in the evening. And they were studying Torah there, and they had, in the morning they got up, their food was there, this was the morning. So they had nothing to complain about. But they looked for an alilah. They looked for an artificial, they created, manufactured an artificial reasons why to complain, because they wanted to complain. So they started to complain. Kodesh Baruch Hu became very angry, and he sent a fire, Vatechel Bikseh HaMachane, and it consumed these wicked people. And they called this place Tavero. Then immediately after, Asafsuf Asher Bikirbu Isavu Tavo. Immediately after, there were others that started to complain, and they said, "Mi achilenu bosor? When are we going to eat some meat? We've been eating this month for a whole year. When are we going to have some meat?" Zochan was adogo ashenechel b'mitzrayim chinom. We remember, and they started to remember all the good times in Egypt what they had. Meanwhile, Egypt, there couldn't have been a more miserable time. Now, then they remembered all the good times they had in Egypt, what we had to eat there, and we were free from Torah. And they started to grumble more. And even though the mon fulfilled the taste of all types of food. So came another episode. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry. And he said, "You want meat? I'll bring you meat." And he brought the quail, the slov. And he says, "You won't eat meat for a day, and you won't eat meat for a week. Chodesh Yomim, you'll eat meat for 30 days. They had meat for 30 days. But then those that instigated this, he killed them. So this becomes a whole parsha here. Then, immediately after this, Vatadaber Miriam va'Aaron b'Meisha. Miriam spoke against spoke to Aaron against Meisha. She said Loshon Hora. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu again intervened. And Miriam was forced, she was stricken with tzaras, a type of a leprosy, and she was forced to go out of the camp for 7 days. And all of the people waited. And then we come to our parsha Shalach, where the people now are on Midbar Purim, they're in Purim, which was a 3-day journey from Sinai, right on the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, and they're ready to go in. Now let's see. And they sent spies. Now they were not instructed to send spies. Gemara brings, Rashi brings here, the Gemara brings from Masechet Seita. They were not instructed to send spies. There were no reason to send the spies. And that's why it says Shlach Lecho Anoshim. Send for yourself spies. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Don't send. They're not my emissaries. Don't send them for me. You want them, you send them." And because they went and they sent the spies, then came this episode. Now let's see what this all adds up to. The Gemara in Masechta Tainis Gemara brings on the last Mishnah of Masechta Tainis. And that Chof Tes, the Gemara says, it says, They received the Torah in the first year on the 6th of Sivan. Later that year, Moshe made the Mishkan, the sanctuary. In Nisan, which was just about a year, a little less than a year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, after they left Egypt, Moshe put up the sanctuary. The people stayed there that month, and the following month till the 20th of Iyar. That was the second year, the 20th day of the second month. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's time to move on. And this was their first journey. And they were going for 3 days from the Har Hashem, to the mountain of Hashem, and they were entering into Eretz Yisrael. They were going to go camp in Midbar Poron, and from there go into Eretz Yisrael. Om Reb Chama Bachanina said, this was the first trouble spot now. Esayim Soru Me'achrei Hashem. That day, when they left the Har Hashem, the mountain of Hashem, they left it. They went away from it, like we said. Then came the problems with the Safsuf, where they wanted meat. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them meat for 30 days. So, if on the 20th of Iyar, they left the mountain, and that took them 3 days, it's the 23rd of Iyar. And then for 30 days they ate meat, so that brought them to the 29th of Sivan, 29th of the next month. 29th of Sivan is Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Actually, we're almost at the 29th of Sivan right now. That's Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. No, excuse me. 22nd, excuse me. It was the 22nd of Sivan. 20th of Iyar. And then there were the 3 days. And then there was the 30 days of eating the meat. So this brought them to the 22nd of Sivan. Then came the episode of Miriam, where she was locked out of the camp for 7 days. That brought them to the 29th of Sivan, Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, they were in the desert of Paran, awaiting to go into Eretz Yisrael, and the people demanded that before we go in, we must spy it out. So Shlach Lecho Anoshim, send out spies, V'tanyon, we learned, Be'esrim V'tisha B'sivan Sholach Meshe Maraglim, that on Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, the 29th of Sivan, is when Meshe sent out the spies. How long did they stay in Eretz Yisrael? It says that they returned after 40 days. They spied out the land for 40 days and they returned. If that took 40 days and they went in Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, so they came back then on the 8th of Av. The spies returned on the 8th of Av. Then it states, Vayivku Aom Balailo Azeh. On that day, on that night, Vatisa Kol Eido, Vayinu Eskelem Vayivku Aom Balailahu. On that night, the nation wept. So if the spies returned on the 8th of Av, and that night they wept, so Ahu Lailo Tisha B'Av. They wept on the 9th of Av, that was Tisha B'Av. Also, Lailo Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Atem Bechisem, Bechia Shelchinam. You're weeping for no reason, because I've already promised to you that the land is a good land and you will be able to conquer it. You're weeping for no reason, Ani Kevea, Lochem, Lailo Zea, Bechia Lederes. For this reason, I will set aside this night for you, it will be a night of weeping for all the generations. And that's where Tisha B'Av comes from. This is the source of Tisha B'Av. Then he decreed on them that they will never go, this generation will not go into Eretz Yisrael, but they will wander in the desert, therefore, until this generation dies, and the next generation will go into Eretz Yisrael. So he decreed on them 40 years. 40 years later, Yeshua went into the land with the people. So what do we see from here? that 1 year after going out of Egypt, and they camped next to the mountain to learn Torah, and from there it was a 3-day journey into Eretz Yisrael, it became a 40-year journey. The 3-day journey became a 40-year journey. First, because they ran from Har Sinai instead of leaving it with an attachment. Then they started to grumble about the difficulties of the journey and about they didn't have meat. So from the 20th of Iyar and the 23rd of Iyar, the 3 days of the journey, there was another 30 days. So that brought them to the 22nd of Tammuz. Then there was the episode of Miriam and Moshe. That was another 7 days. So that brought them to the 22nd of Sivan to the 29th of Sivan. Then instead of going right into Eretz Yisrael, they insisted on spying out the land first. So that spying took another 40 days. So that brought them from the 29th of Sivan, Erev Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, to the 8th of Av. The spies returned on the 8th of Av. And then the spies gave their report, and the people accepted it. And that night, Tisha B'Av, they wept. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed on them that for 40 years, you will wander in the desert. And the next generation will go with him. So to put this in a proper perspective, what is taking place here, the unfolding of a 3-day journey from the lush surroundings of Har Sinai to Eretz Yisrael to 40 years of tragedy. And not only 40 years of tragedy, the Gemara brings an entire golus, the entire golus. Why? What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that because you wept in this evening, so this evening will be a bechiah forever for you. What does one thing have to do with the other? We're only speaking here about the 40 years. So the morale brings, because had they gone in immediately, there would have been no interruption between the going out of Egypt, the receiving of Torah, and the going in of Eretz Yisrael. There would have been no interruption. So it would have never been able to have been reversed. Just like the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus is irreversible, and the giving of the Torah is irreversible. Eretz Yisrael also would have been irreversible. It would have never been able to be reversed. But because of this that took place, so now it was not one act, going out of Egypt, receiving the Torah, going into Eretz Yisrael. No. The generation that went out of Egypt and received the Torah would decree that they'll never go into Eretz Yisrael. A new generation would go into Eretz Yisrael. So the giving of Eretz Yisrael now was something new. And since it was something new, it was not on the same level as the giving of Torah or the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus. And therefore it could be reversed. And therefore when Klal Yisrael didn't keep the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, it was reversed. On Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first Beis HaMikdash, on Tisha B'Av, the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that now that you have caused me to do this, then this night will be a bechiah, a weeping forever. In other words, not only was a 3-day journey turned into 40 years of tragedy, but a whole golus came from there. Not everyone, however, was included in the decree. In the pasuk where it states, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the decree, and he says, in pasuk Chof Tes, "Bamidbar hazeh yiplu pigreihem v'chol pigudeihem v'chol misparchem," all of those who are always counted, they will die in the desert. From 20 years old. This means only those who were counted for the army service
was involved in this decree. So from here we exclude, like the Pasuk says, anyone who was under 20. Under 20 you weren't counted for the army service. From here we exclude Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was not included. Levi was never counted with the rest of the people. If they were counted, they were counted separately. And they were not inducted into the army service. So therefore they were not in this decree. And why? Because they never sent Meraglim. Where the Torah lists who went, nobody represented Shevet Levi. Because Shevet Levi refused to send anyone. They said, no, it's not necessary. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell us to send. And when the report came back, they never accepted the report. So they were not involved, therefore the decree was not with them. They went into the land. And also, the women. Women are not inducted into the army, and therefore they're not counted amongst those together. And when the Torah explicitly excludes them. Why? Because they also never accepted the report. They weren't interested in sending the spies, and they certainly didn't entertain or accept what was brought back. Not only that, we see differently. Later on we see that the B'nai Slavchot came with a whole complaint to Nulanu Achuzah. What are you taking our portion away from us in Eretz Yisrael? When everyone was talking about going back and not going, they were talking about going forward. So therefore the women also, the women together with Shevet Levi and together with those who were under 20 years old, they all went into Eretz Yisrael. Now Rashi brings an interesting note that really, if 40 years later they went into the land, it was 40 years from the Yetzias Mitzrayim, from the going out of Egypt. So it comes out actually the decree was not 40 years then. The decree was only 39 years because it's after a full year already from the going out of Egypt. 40 years is from the Exodus. But this decree, like we mentioned, was in the second year in the desert. So it comes out the decree was only 39 years. So Rashi explains that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind to make this decree before yet. From the time of the Egel Azov, the golden calf. Because right after the giving of the Torah, when he gave the Torah, Moshe stayed on the mountain for 40 days. On the 40th day, which was Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz of the first year, 40 days, they went and they made for themselves a golden calf. So right there, the Almighty had in mind to make this decree. But he didn't. He decided not to. Now that he made the decree because of the Meraglim, because of this episode, see, he already counted from before. So therefore, that first year was included. Now it's interesting to note that these same sections of the nation that were excluded from the decree now had also excluded themselves from the golden calf. Shevet Levi played no role in the golden calf. When Moshe came down and he said, "Mi Lashem Elaihu, those who are loyal to me, come to me." So all of the Shevet Levi came to him. Those under 20 also could not be held responsible. And the women also were not included in the golden calf. They didn't want any part of it. So therefore, these sections of the nation were free from this decree. Now what is the ultimate source of this Aveira, which caused such tragedy? The ultimate source is a lack of trust in the Almighty, in Tmimus Halev, that they did not trust the Almighty. Rashi brings, and the Gemara and Seita brings, and that Lamed Aleph Amud Beis,
thank you.
that when they came to Moshe and they said, we want to see the land, so Moshe told them that there's no reason why you have to see the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's an Eretz Tov V'hi Me'od, it's a very good land and you will conquer it. And they said, no, we still would like to know what we're getting into. So Moshe went to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shlach Lecho Anoshim, you send for yourself. Shlach Lecho Midaitecho V'chi Odom Zer Derech Helek Ra'ale Atzmei. It's like I give you an alternative of what to do, or I give you an option of what to do, and you choose for yourself a bad portion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said as follows, Ani Ein Im Metzav Lecho, I am not commanding you to spy out the land. In Tirtze, if you want, send. But Chayehem Shani Nesin Lam Mokam Litas Leman Lo Yirshuha. If you will send, you should know that I will give you a chance to deceive yourselves and to mislead yourselves. If you won't send, then there's no way that you'll mislead yourselves. But if you do send, then Chayehem, I take a shvur, there'll be the opportunity for you misleading yourselves. Leman lo yirshuha, in order that you will not inherit the land and not conquer the land. Now this is something very profound. Generally, if one closes his eyes, he doesn't see. If he opens his eyes, he sees better. Here we have a situation just to the contrary. If you'll go with closed eyes, you won't mislead yourself. If you want to look for yourself, Chayehem, I swear that I'll make it where you'll be able to mislead yourselves. Here we have a situation where you're better off if you go with closed eyes. And if you go with open eyes, you're going to see something that's not there. Now what does this mean? Generally we're obligated to open our eyes and see what's happening. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to open our eyes? Because he said there's no reason for you to open your eyes. What do you have to open your eyes for? To see if it's a good land. I told you it's a good land. Faramati lochem. Eretz tova mi'od, that it's a good land. Why do you have to open your eyes? To see if you can conquer it. I already told you you can conquer it. I've already promised to your fathers and to you that this land will be given to you. So what do we see from here? That the sheirish, the source of this tragedy, was the lack of trust in the Almighty. Now this is a very important point and a very important quality, because this was the midah of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov was called Ish Tam. Temimus means trust. He trusted in the Almighty. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him he did. And he didn't go further into it. And this was the quality of Klal Yisrael when they received the Torah. They received the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, it's a good Torah, do you want it? Now, if you come into a store, into a shop, and you ask the man for some merchandise, and he tells you, I have something very good. You ask a man for some jewelry, some pearls, or some diamonds, and he tells you, I have something very good. What do you tell him? Very good, let me see it. If he tells you it's very good, why are you asking to see it? Because you don't trust him completely. Why should you? Right? But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you it's very good, so what do you have to see it for? When Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have something very good for you, Lekach Tov, what did Klal Yisrael answer? They said, Nase V'Nishma, we don't want to see it. We're not interested what's written. He went to the other nations and he asked them, I have something good. Do you want it? They said, Maksivboch, what's written in it? First we must know what's written in it, then we'll tell you whether we want it or not. But when he came to Klal Yisrael, he said that I have something good for you, do you want it? They said, Nasi v'nishma. They said, yes, we'll take it. And we'll do whatever written in it. And we don't want to see it. If you said it's good, it's good. And the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara brings in our Peches. Gemara brings Rava. Rava was sitting once and he was learning. Kmain v'shmaitzei v'yasvei asbosa didei tu sekare v'koma ayitz buhu v'koma avin etzbeisei domo. Rava one day was sitting learning and he was thinking, and when you learn you have to labor in what you're doing, and you can imagine the type of labor that Rava would learn with. And he was thinking very deeply into something, and meanwhile he was leaning on his finger. It's like his finger was under his leg and he was putting pressure on it. And as he was trying to understand the Shmaitzer, trying to understand the Gemara, he had put more pressure on and more pressure without realizing. And then he was cutting his finger and blood was coming from it. And he didn't realize it. And there was a tztuki. Tztuki, a goy, a kefir, an atheist, and he watched this and he said, I'm a pesiso. He says, you wild people. He says, you're a wild nation. Here you're wounding your own hand and you're not even realizing it. He says, you're a wild nation. And this is why kadmai kadmitu pumaicho ladunaicho. Akati bebechazuzaicho kemaiso. He says, this is why when you came to Har Sinai, you immediately jumped in and you accepted the Torah. Your mouth spoke before your ears listened. First you should have asked what's written in it to see if you could accept it, and then you should have accepted it. This is what he told Rava. He says, wild people, you Jews. So Rava answered him. He answered him with a pasuk in Mishle. He said, Shlaima HaMelech writes in Mishle Yud Aleph, find it. Mishle Yud Aleph Pasuk Gimel. Shlem HaMelech writes, Tuma Shishorim Tanchim. The trust of those who are straight, of those who are upright, will lead them. Now generally when it comes to lead a person, what leads a person? His eyes and his mind. They're the leaders of the person. Shlaim HaMelech said, no. The trust of the upright, that's what leads them. So this is what Rava said. He says, but on Yeshorim, of those that want to go in a straight line, Yoshor, their trust in the Almighty, that leads them. He says, Anan disaginon bishleim Musa. This is what he told the goy. He says, we that walk straight, see bon, it's written in us, tumash yishorim tancheim, you know what leads us? Our trust in the Almighty, that's what leads us. So we don't need our eyes or our ears to lead us. Trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead us. Therefore, when he says, I have something good for you, he says, we didn't have to look at it and we didn't have to listen to it. We took it, we grabbed it. Hanoch, but you, Inshe, the Sagon Balilusha, that you cannot walk a straight line. You walk crooked all the time. You're devious. and you're skeptical, and you're cynical, and you don't walk straight. So on that, Shlema HaMelech said in the rest of the Pasuk, he said, V'selef beigdim yishodem. The crookedness of those who do not trust in Hashem, the crookedness of those who rebel against Hashem, that will destroy them. So he said, you're right. He says, you would have asked first. But Tume Shishorim Tanchem, Yaakov Avinu was known as the Ish Tam and the Ish Yoshor. When you go straight, and you're Yoshor, and you place your trust in the Almighty, then that will lead you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead you. If you choose to be led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead you. If you choose not to be led by the Almighty, then your eyes and your mind will destroy you. This is what Shlaima HaMelech said. Tume Shishorim, this is a tremendous principle in life. Tume Shishorim Tanche. The trust of those who go straight with the Almighty, that will lead them. He will lead them. They don't need their eyes or their ears to lead them. V'selef beigdim yishodem. Those who do not rely on the Almighty, but they choose, instead of relying on the Almighty, they rely on their own mind and eyes and ears, this will be their destruction. This is what he answered the Goy. Now this is exactly what happened here. They came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, we want to see the land. He says, what do you want to see the land for? If it's good, I told you it's good. We want to see if we can conquer it. He says, I told you you could conquer it. We want to see it. We don't trust you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't trust me? Good. Shlach lecho. Go conquer, go spy out the land. Aval chayehem. I take an oath that now you will be able to deceive yourself. Before, you wouldn't have been able to deceive yourself. Now you'll be able to deceive yourself. And this will be your downfall. So they went to see the land, and all of a sudden they saw great fruits that it took people, few people to carry, 8 people to carry a cluster of grapes. And they saw giants in the land and everything else. They weren't making this up. They came back, they weren't making up stories. They were panic-stricken. Because they lacked the trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what Shlaima HaMelech said, Al tiyat tzadik harbe, v'al tizkachem yeshem idai. Don't be more righteous than the Almighty demands of you, and don't be wiser than the Almighty demands on you. We're always obligated to use our heads. We can't go with blind eyes. We must use our heads, we must use our eyes. But Shlaima HaMelech said there's a time to be a chochem, there's a time to be wise, and there's what is known as yeshem midai, too wise. In Yiddish this is called tzuklug. It's klug and tzuklug. He says, don't be wiser than the Almighty. What does it mean, don't be wiser than the Almighty? These are things that happen all of the time. Torah says that this is the way we should do. But a person says, how can you do like this? If you'll do like this, this can happen, that can happen, and this can happen. But this is what the Torah said, this is what we should do. You want to be wiser than the Almighty? If you listen to the Almighty and trust in Him, then He'll take care of you. You want to be wiser than the Almighty? Then you want to depend and rely on yourself. That will be your destruction. Many, many times, I have it all the time. People come to ask counsel, ask shailas, ask advice. I tell them this is what the mitzvah says. This is what the Torah says. But if I do like this, I won't succeed this way, and I won't succeed this way, and I won't succeed that way. Oh, you want to be wiser than the Torah? Shlach lecho. You have, that's your prerogative. This is the world of the Chira, world of free choice. Go ahead. But you should know, this is Selef Beigdim Yishodem. then your eyes will deceive you and it will destroy you. And this is what the midah of Temimus is. The midah to have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi brings, Hisalachnu imoy betum leiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we must use our minds and we must use our eyes to the utmost to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding. Can't go as ignoramuses. Must use our eyes and minds to the utmost. That's a chochem b'teira, to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding. Many times we don't refuse to use our minds and we don't listen to the Torah because of ignorance. We must understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding. But once we know what He's commanding, then you know what the Gemara says on that? Ein chochma, ve'ein tfuna, ve'ein das k'neged Hashem. There's no wisdom, there's no understanding, there's nothing that can go k'neged Hashem. If this is the mitzvah, if this is the command, after you've gone into it thoroughly, the chochma, with chachma Yisrael, this is the command under this situation, there's no chol. Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai refused to bow to Haman because Haman made an idol out of himself. And the people told him, you're jeopardizing Klal Yisrael. Not allowed to jeopardize Klal Yisrael. So Mordechai said, if it was in regards to anything else, he certainly won't do it. But the halach is that if a man is making idolatry out of himself, then you must not bow to him, even if you're jeopardizing Klal Yisrael. But they said, but you're jeopardizing Klal Yisrael. Mordechai said, Ein chochma, vein tfune, vein das k'neged Hashem. If this is the mitzvah, then nothing is wiser than it. And this is what Rashi says, Yisalachnu imay betum leiv. Walk with me with full trust of your heart. K'derech ha'esi me'av. Like those who do from love. And rely on me that I will not throw on you something which you cannot carry. A child walks with full trust in a father and mother. Father tells them, do this. He knows. If the father says to do this, it's good for him. The mother says to do this, it's good for him. He has full trust. He knows that they will not tell him to do something which is bad for him. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that's how you must walk with me. If this is what I'm commanding you to do, then don't ask any questions. But this is the mitzvah. Full trust, and that will lead you. Once you start questioning, then there's going to be trouble. Had they gone with full trust, then this whole business wouldn't have been here. The whole Golus wouldn't have been here. They would have gone in Eretz Yisrael from 3 days from Har Sinai and finished, and they would have never been exiled from Eretz Yisrael. But because they said, look, we know you told us it's a good land, and we know you told us we would conquer it, but we don't trust you so much. We want to see for ourselves. We want to investigate further. We want to be chachomim yeser midai. We want to be wiser yet. Oh, if that's the case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll show you what wisdom is. You'll go in there and you'll see things in an entirely different perspective, and Yishadim, this will be your destruction. This is a very important principle. Now, one final word. There's much we can learn from here, but time is running out. But one final word. Even though the source of this Aveira was the lack of trust, that's not, though, That's not though why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the decree. That was the source of the Aveira. But that's not why He made the decree. The reason why He made the decree, the Gemara brings, is because the way they committed the Aveira. The way they committed the Aveira was Lashon Hara. This we've spoken on at length many times. But let's just mention one or two words here. The Mishnah brings in Masechta Avodah Zarah, in Masechta Erechin Daf Tes Vav, It says, "Koshayim bepiv koma mina isem maiso." What you say with your mouth is more severe than what you do with your hands. How do we know? So the Mishnah says, because if a person marries a woman and he slanders her and he says that she committed adultery, so he slandered her, the penalty is he has to pay 100 shekel, 100 silver shekels. If a person violates a woman, either by force or even with consent, and he's given a penalty, it's only 50. So we see that what you do with your speech is more severe than what you do actually with your acts. And then the Mishnah says, "Shekein motzinu shelein ischafen gzadin ala veserim minbore al loshen hora." We find that the decree came only on loshen hora. But the Gemara explains, first of all, it states, when he tried to bring slander to this woman, to his wife that committed adultery, he could have brought the death penalty upon her. Maybe that's why he's given such a penalty. So Gemara says no, because in the Torah it says, "Ki haitzi shem ra." The reason why he's given the penalty, because he damaged your reputation. For the causing of death that he tried to do, he wouldn't have been given this penalty. See, here we see that the damaging of a person's reputation through your speech is more severe than even causing him a death penalty. Then the Gemara brings, how do we know that this penalty was here because of the slander that they said? Maybe it was a accumulation of all types of things. Because the Gemara brings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Esr Pomim, 10 times you have given me tremendous source." And the Gemara lists all of the 10 things. There was the golden calf, and there was the asaf suf, what they wanted, the meat, and there was with the mon, what they went out on Shabbos, and so forth and so on. 10 times. And this was the 10th. Maybe it was an accumulation. So the Gemara says no. Because it says, "Vayanusi osi ze eser pomim." Torah says, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "I'm making this decree because of the 10th one. Not of the 10 things that you did, but because of the 10th one. For this alone." Then the Gemara brings, maybe it's not only that they slandered. When they came back, they said, "Leinuchal." They said, "Chozoku mimenu." We will not be able to conquer the land because the land is too strong for us. What do you mean too strong for us? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. So they said it's too strong for HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. This was in their report. Now this is kfira. This is denial of the Almighty. So the Gemara says no. It says, so maybe that's why they received this punishment. It says, "Vayumusu anoshim meitzie dibas oretz ro." Those who slandered the land were killed because they slandered the land. In other words, even more than the fact that they denied the Almighty, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held them responsible for slandering the land. Then the Gemara says one other thing, which is very important. Here we're speaking of Dibas Oro, Dibas Oretz, slandering Eretz Yisrael. There are many people who are very careful about saying anything against Eretz Yisrael. And this a person has to be. Talk, say Loshon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, you have to be very careful. Because we see what happened here. They went and they were made see Dibas Oretz. They slandered Eretz Yisrael. Look what happened. But there's a fallacy in that. You must be very careful about saying anything against Eretz Yisrael. But according to the Gemara, you must be even more careful about saying anything against a human being. Because the Gemara says here, Gemara says, Tan Yom Reblezer ben Parto. Reblezer ben Parto says, Bor e kama godel keach shalosh nohora. Come and see from here how great the Avera is of slander. Mimaraglim, from the Maraglim, from the spies. Uma meitzi sheim ral eitzim vavonim. The spies, they never slandered a human being. They only slandered wood and stones. They only said loshen hora against wood and stones. And still such a tragedy came. Kacha meitzi sheim ral al chaveiroi. So a person that slanders his fellow man, al achas kama vekama, how much more so than one must be careful. So to be mighty divas is to say slander against Eretz Yisrael, this you must be very careful. But those who are careful not to slander Eretz Yisrael, but they slander their fellow man, this is against the Gemara. Because the Gemara says, if this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on them for speaking against wood and stones, so then how much more so is the einish, is the severity and the punishment when a man speaks against his fellow man. And then finally the Gemara brings Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan says, Ma yiten lecho ma yesif lecho loshin remiyah. He says, what more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what more can I do to protect you from your own tongue? Omer leya HaKadosh Baruch Hu leloshin. The Almighty says to the tongue, Kol eivorev shel odem skufim v'ato mutl. Every organ of the body is upright. You lay down. I made you where you lay down, not your upright, because I didn't want to give you too much power. Kol eivorev shel odem b'machutz v'ato mibifnim. All the organs of the body are exterior. You're interior. I didn't want to put you on the outside. You're too potent. And not only that, but I protected you with two walls. A wall of bone, which is the teeth, which are the teeth, and a wall of flesh, which is the mouth. So, what more can I do to silence you? To silence you from Lashon Hara, from slandering people. And still, a person destroys with his tongue. So, we have these two principles. We see three things. Firstly, we see that had HaKadosh Baruch Hu gone, had the people gone, and they did what they were supposed to, there would have been no problems. It would have been in Eretz Yisrael forever within 3 days. The whole desert would not have existed outside of around Har Sinai. Secondly, because they didn't trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they didn't rely on them, but they wanted to rely on themselves in a place where they should have relied on Him, this brought this tragedy. We must rely on ourselves to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. That we are not allowed to go in the dark. We must rely on ourselves to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. If you know yourself, good. If you don't, then Yelech Eitzel HaChochem, you go to HaChochem, you go to someone that does know, to find out what he's saying. But once we know what he's saying, then we must put our full trust in him. And then he will lead us. We want to rely on ourselves over and be above him, then we're leading ourselves. And when we lead ourselves, we can lead ourselves into a mountain, like we see. And thirdly, the great severity of the punishment came because of the Loshon Hara. That is an Aveda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate under any circumstances, like we've spoken in the past. And therefore, even though they had brought 10 problems to the Almighty before, it was this one that he was concerned with. And even though they were kefir b'ikar, they denied him, it was this that he was concerned with. And the Gemara says, if this is against a land of sticks and stones, then how much more so when you slander your fellow man? We should be zeichet to learn from this sedra some of these very important principles.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.